Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Must Have Seen TV. Before we get to today's episode, with Mujan Zulfikari talking about a truly bizarre episode of Blossom. This one is a real wild ride. I have to do a bit of business that I think is sadly just a part of this podcast. John Mahoney of Frasier fame just passed away as I am editing this episode. Dies at the age of 77. Man, you guys, hopefully you listen to this podcast because of how, like, emotionally honest and vulnerable and, like, engaged I am. So, like, get ready for that. I have to also say, I didn't do this for Rosemarie, and I put a lot of pressure on myself, so I feel bad about that. That's on me. That's me applying pressure to myself. I will talk more about Rosemarie, her incredible legacy, when her documentary hits. I think I'm probably going to do a special episode when it is available for on-demand services, because Wait for Your Laugh is an amazing documentary about her life. But now this is the second big death that I can remember since I started the podcast of someone who's on episodes that I've talked about. And you can go back and listen to episode 9 with Winston Knoll, where I talked about Frasier and John Mahoney's brilliant performance as Martin Crane. And obviously he's known for theater work, movies, you know all of that. You can go to his Wikipedia page. But the thing that I talk about on the show is his sitcom work. And his sitcom work for 11 years as Martin Crane is outstanding. And just, I'm sure I got into this in the episode with Winston a year ago almost, just deeply personal for me. I watched Frasier sporadically as a child, and I watched it, all of it, right after the election last year. I watched like all 11 seasons in a month. And there are so many father and son stories. That's a thing about living in the patriarchy, where we just tell father and son stories all over and over and over again. And where are all the mother-daughter stories? Where are the mother-son, et cetera, et cetera? There are a lot of father-son stories, is what I'm getting at. There are a ton. Star Wars, Guardians of the Galaxy. Those are just off the top of my head. It's because there are so many, there are a lot of different shades. There are a lot of different types, kinds of father-son stories. And the one that resonates the most with me and with my husband, which made watching all of Frasier right after the election painful at times, is the Martin and Frasier. And also Niles, but he's not the title character. So the Frasier-Martin relationship is so personal to me. And not that I'm a Frasier, because I'm definitely not a Frasier or a Niles, but the dynamic they have of a father that has a son that he doesn't understand and has to still do right by and love, and they have to come to an understanding, and it's a hyper-analytical, thoughtful son and a, you know, guarded, not emotionally stunted, he's definitely not that, but a guarded, close to the best, you know, dad. And their clash and conflict just resonates with me in ways that I don't... I'll talk about a lot of things. It gets weird talking about family stuff, I guess. Everything's fine. But his performance on that is just stellar. An all-time great. And it is sad that this has happened. I don't know what else to say. I just had to say something, and it's this thing that I'm going to have to do on this show, I know, and it's never going to get easy, but that's what the point of this show is celebrating the work these people did. Hopefully some of the people you never heard of that you are introduced to, and or people that you never thought of in that way. Maybe you never thought about the unique relationship between a Frasier and a Martin Crane, and maybe you'll go back and watch episodes and think about that. Hearing from someone that's very personal to, like me. But I'm still processing this. I literally just found out, I don't know, 30 minutes ago. So maybe I should have waited to record something. But anyway. Anyway, thank you for listening. At the top of shows, I want to be able to talk to you guys since, you know, you just hit play. I want to be able to talk to you, you know, read your comments, your thoughts, your emails, your tweets, whatever you want to send to me. Please get in touch with the podcast at Must Have Seen TV on social media or at musthaveseentv@gmail.com. And let's talk. Let's get through this stuff together, because that's the only way we're going to get through anything is by talking to each other. But after that, after this, this intro, which didn't expect to happen, we're going to get into a really fun episode. This episode is a blast. This episode is crazy. This episode is a riot. Mijan is great. I was so happy to have her back to talk about this episode of Blossom, the show that basically invented the very, well, they didn't invent the very special format, but they're very special. It's a very special show. Very special episode of a very special show. So let's get on to it. And here is the show.
In my opinion, Nation, it's time for Must Have Seen TV, the podcast dedicated to the sitcoms of the 20th century from I Love Lucy to News Radio. I am your TV guide, Brett White, and I'm also a reporter producer for Decider.com. And this week I am joined by TV writer, actor, and co-creator of Audio Boom's amazing sci-fi improv podcast, Mission to Zix, Mujan Zafagari. Hello.
Hi there.
Welcome back to the podcast.
Good to be here.
We only watch insane things.
We do. I mean, most of the time, not for podcasts, but...
Oh, yeah. But last time was Perfect Strangers,
yes.
Which is like episode 7 or so.
Which was like the best episode, I guess, someone said. 6 people voted on IMDb.
The internet deemed that episode where Balky has a toothache.
Yeah.
It's that the
was
best it. Episode.
That was all you need to know.
Yeah.
That's the podcast.
And then, well, I mean, we can just fucking dive in. This week, we are traveling to October 25th, 1993... The Beverly Hillbillies ruled the box office. Dream Lover by Mariah Carey topped the charts. And NBC aired the Blossom episode 38 special. Mujan, you must have seen 38 special before today.
Nope, never heard of it. Not ever really seen Blossom before.
Nope. So I've also never seen this episode before today. What is you? So do you have any history with Blossom?
I just remember it being there. Like, it was a part of...
It was NBC.
Okay.
It was a Monday night show.
Monday night show. I just remember it being there and just the fashion. The fashion of Blossom. And also the hats. Joey became like a pop culture phenomenon.
Yeah.
The theme of like the opening credits was very popular. So I know of that. I don't think I ever really watched an episode, however.
I remember I would watch it. I remember Blossom was one of the shows that when I was like really little, this show I think was on for like 90 to 95. So I was like 6 or 7, 6, a character on the show.
Yeah.
And I remember going up to my mom and being like, I don't like Blossom. They talk about sex too much. And my mom was like, well, then you don't have to watch it. Like, that was the first time I realized, oh, I don't have to watch everything that's on television.
Oh, wow.
And it was Blossom.
The show gave you power.
Yeah, the show empowered me to not watch it anymore.
Now, why? I guess I chose it. You gave me a list of just shows, and I was just like, I don't know anything about this one.
Yeah, well, and I also, because I, for work, I wrote a piece for my That Gay Episode series where I do it, like, the episode of a sitcom where a gay person comes in for one episode and they have to, like, deal with it. I wrote about Blossoms,
yeah.
Which is a guy on Joey's baseball team falls in love with him and sends him a note. And he thinks that it's from Leslie, a girl, but it's from Leslie, a guy.
Oh, he has to deal with that.
And he has to deal with it. And Joey's very homophobic for a hot second, but then at the end he's you know, better about it and then never has to think about it again because that character goes away.
Yeah.
But when I was doing research on that, I found out that the very special episode term was kind of coined for Blossom. Like, Blossom is the first show that really... Not the first show, because plenty of shows did it before,
yeah,
but Blossom was notorious for just everything. And so I found, like, some top 10 lists on websites that were, like, the top 10 most very special episodes of Blossom. And this is, and when I read the synopsis for this one, let's get into it. Because, oh boy, this week on Must Have Seen TV, we're talking about the Blossom episode 38 special. It is the 9th episode of season 4 and was written by David Rio, also the show's creator.
Oh, so it's original content.
Yeah, and directed by Ted West, who plays the dad. Here's how Hulu describes...
Okay, hold on. That'll make sense for later.
Yes. Oh my god, it really will. It really will. Here's how Hulu describes the episode. Blossom becomes alarmed after she sees a gun in a student's locker. Does that accurately describe the episode?
That is one of the plots.
That is one of the
three
plots.
There are many other plots. It's not the entire episode, which is also one of its main problems.
Yeah, because the other reason I picked it was because not only does this have a gun, it's a gun episode.
Yeah.
It's also an alcoholism episode.
Hey, you might as well just bring in two big special things that are happening in one's life.
Two at once. And, I mean... So, like, the structure of the episode is... Let's get in chronologically the opening credits. So, the theme song and the opening titles are the most 90s thing.
Most 90s. So, all I really knew about Blossom, I thought it was just, like, two girls who wore clothes, and I never wanted to wear it, because that's, like, not was the thing I was into. I was very much a tomboy growing up. But it's a show that's dramatic and comedic with a giant... Like, it's not... The funniest show?
No, it is more of a drama than
it's
a comedy.
It's more of a drama, but it's trying to be comedic. But the opening credits is very misleading, because it's like, it's a fun time girl just dancing around wearing all these different costumes.
In front of, like, the kind of backdrop that your elementary school would put up for school picture day. She's in front of one of those, and she, like, it's just doing all these different dance routines with every single cast member.
And then you see the relation that they have.
Yeah.
It's like her and Joey, it's fun. Six, it's great. Her and her, like, alcoholic Italian brother.
Her paramedic brother, and he just, like, stands there with his arms crossed while she, like, flits around him, and then...
And the dad's a musician, and
so
there's something there.
So he's, like, playing a grand piano.
It's kind of like the Cosby Show's opening, but with a white girl.
Yeah. Just getting funky fresh, too. Because I love, like, Joey and Blossom are both doing their own different dances, and Joey's... He's doing that dance from the 90s where you, like, you bock your arms out like a chicken.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you do the chicken flap, but then your feet are like you're riding a bicycle. Like, they're, like, pedaling and, like, they're doing, like, this thing.
Well, Joey is the dumb one.
And then he does, like, a splits and then comes back up.
Yeah, yeah. Joey's the dumb one of the show, but he's also the heartthrob, I believe.
Well, and just the moment where I gift this in that article because I'm like... You don't ever think about Joey Lawrence that much anymore, but when you go back and watch these shows, you understand it all. You understand why you only remember Joey Lawrence from this show, why everyone was obsessed with him, because he just exudes this, I mean, like, teenage sexual charisma.
Yeah,
like, it's
And he has this, like, he's naive in a way that's, like, endearing. It makes sense why they give him a whole, like, sub-story. Like a side story for no reason that has nothing. We'll get into it.
Yeah.
I have a giant theory about him, which I think he's like a comatose patient who we keep seeing like his dreams and he's maybe part of the family. Like if there's a true episode of Blossom, he's just in a chair in a coma.
Yeah, that makes more sense. Sitting backwards in the chair, slumped over it.
Yeah, and then you see what's going on in his brain and that's what the like B story is.
Because he only sits backwards in a chair. And then the theme song is just...
What's
like,
the deal with the theme song?
I think that the creator of the show and the musician that does the theme song, which, oh boy,
it's not
these
the
are
father,
all...
is it?
No, it's a, like a, let me look it up. It's like a jazz legend.
Yeah, it's that, but it's a famous line, which is, in my opinionation,
which is not a
the
word.
Sun is gonna surely shine.
Theme music composer, Dr. John.
Dr. John.
And he is... Clicking on it.
No?
He is not dead. Better known as by a stage name, Dr. John is an American singer, songwriter, actor, pianist, and guitarist whose music combines blues, pop, jazz, boogie-woogie, and rock and roll.
That makes sense. That's all those things.
Since he's been a session musician since the 50s.
Great.
He's a winner of 6 Grammy Awards, inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame by John Legend on March 14, 2011.
And music that young girls in the early 90s used to listen to.
Just love that. Getting funky to. No. The opening credits are just a thing to behold.
I love them.
All you need
great.
To watch, honestly.
Like, also, Clarissa Explains It All was very similar, too, except
she
it
wasn't
was
dancing,
yeah.
but it was like her
you
trying
to
spell her name, and all of her parents and like brother would come and like interrupt her.
Yeah.
And it was very,
it's reminding
like,
the audience the personality of the main theme,
yeah.
of the main person.
So the episode opens and Blossom is at school, and like literally within
seconds.
10 seconds, the gun is out.
Hey, that's not real, is it?
What, this?
Hey, Jimmy, put that away, please. You're scaring me. I mean, what are you doing with a gun in school? What are you doing with a gun at all?
Like, as the kid next to her, Jimmy, at the locker, like two lockers apart.
Who looks like boy's got a problem?
Yeah, because he's like, he's a lot taller than Blossom. He's got big blonde,
a lot of hair.
Wearing like an oversized not trench coat.
A hoodie.
And he like pulls out the gun and just puts like, really blatant. Like, it is so, like, here's my little tiny gun.
The tiniest gun. Guys, I want you to imagine the tiniest gun. That's the gun. Not to say that tiny guns are good.
I mean, we
all
find
guns
out
are bad.
At the end of the episode that this tiny gun
have a lot of power.
Packs a punch. Oh, boy.
But you know how you go to school and, like, the bad kid's next to you is like, hey, you want to see something? And you're like, what? And he's like, it's my tiny gun. And you're like, what are you going to use it for? And they're like, I don't know, I'm going to scare someone. And then you're like, oh, shit, this episode's about guns.
Because that's what
it
happens.
It got real.
Is immediately. And I think then we slow dissolve to Blossom in her bedroom and, like, Six comes in. And at this point you ask, like, is there a laugh track?
Yeah,
and then
I
there
did.
Was one. Then someone laughed. And
right.
Because it's like they don't care about that.
But it's so funny because the laugh track, when it finally came in, so Six, her best friend who talks very loudly, and later you learn maybe has an alcohol problem, has married an older man, has a pregnancy scare. Not in this episode, but in the series.
The course of her character.
Yeah. Because she's like, what, 15?
Yeah.
They need to do something with these girls. She says, and she doesn't even say anything funny, but then the laugh track slowly comes in. It's like, hey, we know we just like blew your mind
with
guns.
Like, this
episode's going to be real.
But it's also going to be like, it's going to be fun. The fun, funky Blossom that you normally know. And I wrote down that this has to be canned laughter. Like, there is no way this was taped in front of an audience because the rhythm of the performances is as if they were performing for no one because they definitely were not.
Yeah.
There's no pausing for laughter. There's no like energy interplay between like an audience that's watching it.
Yeah.
And also the laughs themselves are the same.
Yeah. Also, nothing they said was funny.
Nothing they said was actually funny at all.
In fact, some of the lines that Six comes in to, I don't even know what Six was talking about. Girl was talking fast. Talking about some sort of a school problem.
Yeah, they got, there was a prank. Someone, like, pranked a teacher, and then no one in school would speak up about it.
Uh-oh.
So they all got detention. They, like, spray painted the thing.
Yeah.
And that led Blossom to be like, what's with this code of silence we all have at school?
And she's like, what about guns?
And what was like, well, Blossom, and Six is like, well, we got a lot of things to worry about. There's like gang violence and all this other stuff. And then Blossom's like, and guns. the scene ends with like, well, because they're like, well, you can call the anonymous hotline. And I think Six says like, yeah,
you call the number right on him and nobody knows it was you. That way you don't have to worry about getting shot on your way to biology. Unless, of course, he figures it out and gets another gun. In which case, our whole class gets off half a day early for your funeral.
And there was laughter.
That
the audience
line, like,
they can't...
was so weird. Yeah. It's like, oh yeah, this is a school shooting. Like,
yeah.
A thing that we now are...
Also, that's not a funny joke line. And they have the canned laughter come in. And he's like, well, I guess we don't want to go to your funeral. Laughter again. It's like...
Yeah, we don't want to spend half the day going to your funeral.
Director, father who directed this, the guy actor who played this. What is this episode?
Well, it's weird. Oh boy. Trigger warnings. Was Columbine the first school shooting that was at least widely publicized?
I remember
it was a huge thing at the time.
Us.
I think, yeah, because it is.
There was like Waco shootings and like the one in like.
But those weren't in like schools.
Universities.
Oh, they were. Yeah, there were university like problems. Yeah, so it is weird.
But I'm sure it's not. It's just the amount of people they took out. And I honestly don't know. And I
that's why this episode is very weird, trying to put in the context of when it aired in 1993, when I don't think there were as many publicized mass shootings, to watching it, you know, now in 2018, when it's just like, this is way too serious,
it's the
guys.
Norm.
This is, and it's like, you guys shouldn't make jokes about all this.
Thank you, Brett. I'm now on the Wikipedia page of lists of school shootings in the United States.
Now Blossom decides, like, yeah, she's going to call this anonymous hotline. This is when we get meet our, I guess this is the C-plot? So, does the dad pay for play?
Yes.
So the only non, like, hot button issue plot in this episode is Daddy Russo, whose name is, he's played by Ted Wass.
And his name is, who also directed the episode, let's bring that up again.
Nick Russo.
Oh, there have been, let me interrupt him by saying there have been a lot of school shootings.
Okay. Oh, boy.
Since the 1700s.
Oh, wow, that goes that far back?
Oh, yeah.
Is this all in America?
Oh, this is U.S. shootings. God. Yeah, no. Combine's the one just we in our recent, you and I in our living history remember. No, but there have been plenty.
So that's great.
It's good. So yeah, it's timely forever.
I remember, let's talk about Nick Russo for a hot sec, because I remember when I was a kid, his dad character always was weird to me because he's like a cool dad. Yeah. He's like a, because he's got like a mullet and an earring and he's like a musician.
Ugh. He just reminds me of just like an L.A. dad actor.
Yeah. And that's exactly what he is.
Yeah.
He's such an L.A. dad actor.
Ugh, I can't.
And so his whole plot in this episode, he's booked a gig with, I'm guessing, is it a guy that has been around, like his friend? Because...
Yeah.
I wonder, has this character been in other episodes? I can't look
no
that
idea.
Up. That's
so,
too much.
But what's interesting about this plot that the father has with this friend, it's, I think, because the father, that actor, directed it, he just put it in there for himself.
To perform.
Because there's nothing really, it's just, I guess all it shows is they're having trouble booking.
Booking a show.
But they just want to sing.
They just, yeah, because the whole thing is, it's all, oh, it's pay for play. We've got a, it's like a bringer show.
Yeah, but music, man. Music is like real and deep, man.
Yeah, I thought it was going to get into some deep shit about the music business and like artistic stuff. And I was like, wow, we're going for three.
Or I thought the friend was going to die. I thought he's going to shoot himself and those all be tied together.
But no. I mean, we could like knock out their entire plot line right now. It's like there's a scene where they're talking about, oh, we got a gig, we have to do like pay for play.
Yeah.
There's a scene with Six when Six comes over for dinner and like, oh, my mom.
Oh, by the way, I sold my mom a ticket to your show.
Oh, hey, that's great. I'll put her name on the list.
Oh, no, she can't come. She just felt sorry for you.
Okay, cool. And then the third scene is them doing the gig.
Yeah.
Only two old ladies are there. They finish performing. They start packing up, and then they're like, eh, let's perform again.
Yes, and they sit down and they perform alone, and I think if you time each scene that's happened in this episode, that was the longest scene.
It was so long.
This is an episode about guns in schools, but the longest scene was the dad and his friend singing a song in a cafe.
Yeah, I'm trying to look up, okay, hold on, Keith... No, because his name is Keith Allison is this guest star, and I was trying to look up, is he a musician that we were supposed to know?
No, I don't think. Maybe.
He is an actor known for... So I guess he was an actor in the movie Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band.
Oh, wow.
But I don't think that's why he got this. And they're you know what? We need to...
No, it definitely wasn't
really
like...
highlight his music
we
talent.
We brought on Neil Young as like the extra guest star.
Was he in like The Animals or some like 60s band?
No, it's just the director wanted to just like show off to all the hot chicks of LA that he could sing music.
No joke. Also, not... that good.
No, they're not that good. There's just a dad band, so it is like... I got my ticket.
If I hunt it right by my side, I got the whole... It's a very dad band.
Dad band.
And then again, like, when he's, like, lifting the equipment and he's, like, struggling with it, you're like, oh, he's gonna die, and that's the point of this. Yeah. No, it doesn't happen.
No, nothing happens. Yeah, I think I said to you, oh, this is it. He needs help.
He's gonna
die.
He needs help. So, nothing to that. So then we get Blossom's, like, calling the anonymous hotline thing.
Yes,
there's a lot of pacing and monologuing.
There was, I don't know, maybe it's a thing about the show, but I feel like, and I've done the old acting before.
Yeah.
But, like, the amount of pacing and, like, movement she does to different places in a house or in a room are, maybe she is, like, a very anxious person. I don't know, but it's like... a person doesn't walk, no, I can't assume. Everybody's different.
Yeah.
But this character in general sits up. Sits down, goes up, goes to a bookcase, doesn't do anything, goes to a desk, sits down, sits up, goes to a closet, sits down, sits up. And it's like giving, while they're asking someone, how are you doing?
There's a lot. There's so much going on. I mean, Ted Wass really working that.
Yeah, he's directing. Like, you know, I believe like acting should be done with movement.
It's physical.
So
she finally calls, she tries on all these voices. Because even though it's an anonymous tip line...
She doesn't want to... She's too afraid because she might get shots. She's Blossom. Everybody knows Blossom.
Blossom.
Yeah.
So she does like an Arnold Schwarzenegger voice.
No. Hello, is this the anonymous hotline? No, that's ridiculous.
Hello, is this the anonymous hotline?
She does like a Valley Girl voice.
And the audience, oof, that canned laughter loves it so
loves
much.
All those kooky characters Mayim Bialik is doing.
Have you ever anonymously called somebody?
Wait, no.
No, me.
I've never called an anonymous hotline.
I prank called people, but that's about it.
I've never prank called anyone.
Yeah, when I was younger, my brother and I, that's just what we did. We just randomly called 1-800 numbers. And I think back in the day, there was a number that was 1-800-666-6666 or something like that. And then it was a hotel in New York. And we booked a room, but we never paid for it. Like, we got a star, like, hello!
Oh, stinkers.
Like, a 13-year-old and, like, a 9-year-old or something. Like, yes, we would like a room for next week. And we're like, haha, we got you. And 1-800-94-JENNY to date it. We used to call that one all the time. And say, like, I'm not thin yet. And we, like, hang up and be like, we're the funnest people. Anyway, that's a side note.
So Blossom does not prank the anonymous tip line.
No, she calls an anonymous tip line, which is a very serious place.
But she does pick a cup up to, like, disguise her voice and make her sound like, kind of like a weird robot or something.
Yeah.
After that, she gets comforted by her boyfriend.
Who I had no idea. Yeah, just like, I was like, who's this 30-year-old man sitting with Blossom?
Yeah, he's Vinny. And I know him from Hey Dude.
Oh.
Where he was Ted in the first couple seasons.
He has a very tiny face.
Yes, it's a very tiny face on a big body.
But
he was, so like when he was, I remember being on Blossom, be like, oh, it's Ted from Hey Dude.
Yeah.
The cool scoundrel guy from Hey Dude.
Is that, you're on his IMDb, what has he done?
Let's see, what has he done? David Lasher is his name.
David Lasher, I wish you luck. I hope you got something.
He was on three episodes of Melissa and Joey.
Okay, which makes sense. Keeping it in the family.
Keeping the family, the Joey.
I mean.
That's about it. But he was a regular on Sabrina the Teenage Witch.
Okay, good. So he at least maybe has those SAG residuals coming in.
Yeah, although what do you think there? I mean, the Hulu deal can't be good.
Yeah, I don't know.
The streaming deals? Because isn't that just like a one-time pay? They don't pay you per stream.
I get so depressed when I look at old shows and I'm like, where did these actors go?
Yeah.
Especially as an actor, I'm just like, oh no. This is a serious business.
So if you guys want the hot tip, RuPaul's podcast, What's the Tea?
Yeah.
Rue just had on Winifred Hervey, who was one of the writers on Golden Girls, like one of the main producers of Golden Girls for the first couple of years, and they get into like talking about like Rue's like, you getting them residuals, honey? And Winifred Hervey's was like, I'm doing pretty well.
Yeah.
Because, like, Golden Girls, of course, is doing well.
Oh, yes. If you're a writer and your show gets in syndication, like, Seinfeld writers are sort of set for a life.
Yeah.
Whenever a show gets to 100 episodes, and I think it's less for cable and for maybe streaming, but the, not streaming, but cable episodes.
Yeah.
But then you're done.
Yeah.
You're done.
So, it's good. I'm sure all the Blossom people are probably okay. I don't know. The show
maybe
isn't.
Maybe the series regulars, but where is it? Where were the reruns? Like, where else?
I think reruns were airing somewhere, okay. I'm sure.
Like, did Nick at Night do Blossom? No.
No, I don't think so. I mean, they might have in the last 10 years because I fell off of the Nick at Night train. Yeah. And they do 90s shows now, so.
Yeah.
I don't know. he's talking, is this when we meet the clown?
No. But let me point out that Blossom and her boyfriend were doing the classic things that teens do. Teens on a date. Sitting on a couch, reading a magazine.
Yeah. and, like, leaning on each other.
Yeah, sexy teen date there.
Ooh, so sexy leaning. The next scene is set at the high school.
Yes.
Where the principal is, like, going through Jimmy's locker.
Yeah, because she called the anonymous hotline. She got the guts to do it.
And they find nothing, of course.
Yeah.
Where is that gun? I feel like that gun's probably on Jimmy's person.
Yeah, because it's so tiny, honestly. It's so tiny. Honestly, it could have been there, and he just didn't see
it. Yeah. and then Jimmy, like, everyone, like, goes away and Blossom's there, and Jimmy knows.
But also, Blossom was so obvious. Blossom was just, like, deer in headlights staring at him.
Yeah, Blossom, you gotta be a better liar.
Uh-oh, and then Jimmy does a classic bad boy line.
Where he says,
I told you not to say anything, didn't I?
Jimmy,
Don't worry. You'll get yours, kid. I promise.
Cool. Whoa!
Can we pause to try to wrap our heads around who was Jimmy trying to bring that gun to?
He was going
to
scare somebody.
Who was he wanting to scare?
Yeah, Jimmy's story's very sad.
Because again, like, Well, they flesh out his character a little bit later when Blossom's like, he's a quiet, unassuming kid.
Yeah, that means he's a killer.
Yeah, and also that's not the character that this actor is playing, because Jimmy, all we know, is a
talkative
tall,
man.
Imposing man. Yeah. He's very talkative and brings a gun to school.
And
to
also
scare
complimentary.
Someone.
He's like, Blossom, I like that name.
Yeah, like he doesn't seem quiet and unassuming at all.
Honestly, I would hang out with Jimmy.
Yeah.
No, I wouldn't. No. I would take that back completely. I would never do that. And so also, but Jimmy also in the beginning, because even to add more mystery to him, in the first scene, Blossom asked him, hey, Jimmy, where have you been? He's like, I was away for a while.
Yeah.
Where has he been?
Like, there's a whole thing of, is Jimmy the victim or the bully?
There's
like,
so we much don't, we don't know about Jimmy.
We don't know the context. And I mean, like, bringing a gun to school under any circumstances is bad news.
Maybe his father told him, like, this is how you're going to be a man.
Right.
You know, we don't know Jimmy's backstory.
I need more, just in terms of, like, storytelling.
Yeah, maybe Jimmy has children. Maybe Jimmy has a wife.
Jimmy is just a plot device.
Yeah. Maybe it's not a gun. Maybe that was, like, a tiny laser.
They also keep bringing up, maybe it was a toy. Maybe it was a toy.
Yeah.
And they never even, like, really... Well, we do know it wasn't a toy from the end of the episode.
Well,
it's like leading. We get one of these painting transitions.
Yeah, so that's how they transition
the show,
to commercials.
Yeah.
It becomes like a 90s cool mosaics.
It's like a watercolory, like,
were
it looks like McDonald's
in,
art.
Were watercolors in the early 90s?
Well, I mean, it does look like the kind of paintings you would have hanging in a McDonald's in the early
90s. Oh, yes, like,
or
a,
like
mall,
a
mall, or, yeah.
Yeah, so, like, the transitions are the live action paints to that, and it comes back to life.
Yes, yes. With the classic music that you always have in all these shows.
Yeah.
And then how would you describe Blossom's classic transition music?
I mean, isn't it? It was really sentimental, right?
It's like jazzy sentimental.
Yeah, like...
Oh, God.
So then we get to the next. So act one is all gun, a little bit of pay to play.
Yeah.
And then act two opens up and all, like, Joey is sitting there watching TV.
Again, he could be in a coma in another room. This is all in his mind. This may not be real.
The doorbell rings and Joey says, like, I don't, these clowns trying to sell something.
Oh boy.
Opens the door.
What could it be?
A drunk clown.
Yes.
A drunk clown that is lost on his way to Blueberry Lane.
Yeah.
Played by Dick Martin. So that's a big deal in terms of television.
I don't know.
Dick Martin is one of the co-creators of Laugh-In, Roland and Martin's Laugh-In. And then Dick Martin went on to be a semi-regular panelist on Match Game in the 70s.
Oh, this is your... Dick Martin's your man!
Yeah, and then he was... he directed a couple episodes of the Bob Newhart Show. And
what?
Then he became, like, the semi-regular director of Newhart.
Brett, are we watching this because of him?
No, I actually did not know that he was in this episode until today.
Okay.
So that's like, wow, surprise!
Yeah, yeah.
So he's playing a drunk clown, a drunk birthday clown. Then Joey's like,
I know you.
No, I just have one of those faces.
No, you worked my sixth birthday party. Joey Russo, don't you remember me?
And then they have a bonding moment.
And he just lets him into his house. So, Brett, have you ever let a drunk clown straight into your house?
Never. And also, if I was a drunk clown on my way somewhere, I probably wouldn't take the time to, like, I have time. Well, I guess if I'm drunk, I'm not going to be...
I was like,
worried about time or being late.
And I guess it's back in the day where you didn't have a phone, you didn't have GPS. Like, I guess you go door to door and ask people, where's Blueberry Lane?
And I also like Joey's first response is, follow the trail of blueberries. And then you find out a little bit later, no, he knows where it is.
Yeah.
He just
wanted a friend. Joey's a very lonely man.
Yes. Also, how old? He's out of high school at this point.
Is he? Oh, that's
sad. Because he says, like, Clown College is one of the two colleges that accepted me on my grades or whatever.
Oh.
So I guess he's maybe a senior looking
for... senior, yeah. I know, like, he later goes to ASU.
So this is where we get the introduction of this alcoholic clown plot.
Yeah, this is the... Would you say B plot or C plot?
I think this is B, because it is there's substantial more,
right.
I think, more...
Right, and there's a lesson that's kind... I don't know if there's a lesson, but
try for something.
There's some... Yeah, there's something that's trying to be done in this one.
But before we get to the... Because Joey's like, I will drive you because you don't need to drive because you're drunk, so Joey's going to drive
in
him.
In his clown car.
Then we go to the scene between Blossom and her father where her dad finds out, like, oh no, he threatened you, I'm gonna call, et cetera, et cetera.
And with a lot of laugh tracks.
A lot more laugh tracks.
The dad is learning from the daughter that, I might be murdered, I might be killed. Audience loved it. Audience thought it was hilarious.
Now, there was an exchange when Six comes in and they have the sit down.
Oh no.
That I wrote down every line of because I think this was the act break line. Where I think Nick Russo, the dad, says, like...
Well, it's a jungle out there.
Yeah, it's kill or be killed.
Tell me about it.
Oh, God.
So I'm like, how many, like, those are...
Luckily, that didn't end in a laugh. It ended with, like...
The painting.
The painting.
But I'm like, it's a jungle up there. It's kill or be killed. Tell me about it. It's just like a computer was like, let me just find tropey lines and just...
The creator who also wrote this episode, you know when he wrote that on whatever final draft, or like, I guess, typewriter that was used in the early 90s.
Yeah.
He was like, man, that's why I'm here. That's why I did this.
Yeah, because people got to know about the jungle out there.
Kill or be killed.
It's kill or be killed in high school.
Kill or be killed in high school.
I still...
I'm going to change the world with this episode. Blossom's going to stop it. It's going to wear
still,
people.
If I was a writer writing a gun episode of a,
so
of
many
a high school
shows
sitcom
have done this.
Nowadays,
yeah.
I don't think I would ever say it's kill or be killed. I do not think it is kill or be killed in high schools even today.
No, I mean, maybe emotionally and self-esteem-wise.
Which is the way it's always
been. Yes, yes, yes.
But I think, like, literally kill or be killed?
I hope not.
I don't.
But again, we haven't been in high school in a
while. Exactly. I do think there is definitely, like, there's 100% problems that need to be addressed. But I think that the kill or be killed is coming from this place of an adult man.
Yeah, it's like rebel without a cause.
He's just like the kids these days. It's they don't even understand. They're all just like animals out there. I'm gonna write this script, and like it's got this like you kids these days kind of like
you
this,
don't understand.
It's such a
you go to school and if you don't make it, you're dead.
So then we get the next scene, which I think is the big scene between the clown and Joey.
Now, this is a beautiful scene. I think if there's any scene he ever wanted to submit for an award season.
For an Emmy, it's this one,
it's
definitely.
This one. Brett, please set it up.
So, they're driving, and why do they stop? Because they need, like, to get new fuel, or no, he needs to use the bathroom.
Probably, because he's a drunk clown. Drunk. Yeah. Yeah. He just drinks a lot.
So he pulls over, and the set, like, there's a bit of spared no expense to this. I mean, it's horrible. I mean, it's very 90s. But they pulled over the road in, I'm assuming, Los Angeles.
It looked
cool. Because they're in the hills, and the scene, the studio set has no scene. It goes on for days.
Yes.
Like, it's
if you've seen La La Land, that scene between the two main actors after that party where they're looking at the Los Angeles. Wow. Language is not a thing I do. It was basically like that. It was a beautiful scene between two souls who finally understood each other, but it took some struggle.
And it's like the clown gets on top of the, Frosty gets on top of the side rail of the road to like walk across it like a tightrope. He's talking about his elephant. The reason that he's drinking is because his elephant died.
This guy, again, we don't know his story. We don't know.
The story he tells us is his elephant died and it's driven him to drink.
Elephant's clearly, I think, a word for his wife or like a woman he was in love with or a man or somebody.
Metaphor.
Yeah, or his career or a housing mortgage, like, or his children.
And so he's up there and he's on the guardrail. And Joey says, like, when we got out of the car and, like, yelped a little bit, I thought, he's like, oh, you thought maybe I jumped? He's like, yeah. And then Joey just keeps asking, like,
hey, Frosty, do you want some help?
I don't even know you.
I know, but do you want some help?
I got a party. I gotta get to a party.
Frosty, do you want some help?
Three times.
It's like over and over?
It's the third time. Actually, it's I'm Iranian-American, and we have this thing in our culture called tarof, which is, if you're like, would you like some tea? You go, no. And then you go, would you like some tea? No, I'm okay. Would you like some tea? Okay.
Wait, why?
Yeah, it's
is that just like a thing?
It's just a thing. Like, it's like, you have, it's, you're humble, you have to be very humbled, and like, you can't always accept the thing. You have to, kind of both sides have to always work for it. Which, growing up, like, if you offer me any food, I'll always be like, no, it's okay. And then you should be like, are you sure? And I'll be like, fine. But, and I'm, that's how I am. And so when someone does ask me like, hey, Mujan, do you want a cookie? And I'm like, no. They're like, all right. I'm like, bitch. Just ask me two more times. So I think maybe there was some Persian influence in this. Joey was tarofing.
Yeah. Well, and then the clown finally, like, accepts it.
They're both understood.
So he accepts it. And then we cut back to the house, and now we get the only scene with Blossom's oldest brother, what's his name? Tony Russo, played by Michael Stoyanov. Ooh, who's rocking, like, the long hair in his IMDb photo.
Yeah, where is he now? Oh, no, he's aged.
Is that him? I don't know if that's him. See all. Let's see. Oh, he was in a couple episodes of Billions.
Oh, wow, that's good. Good for
him. Yeah, episode of Gotham.
Wait, are we sure this is the right guy? Because I didn't think
his
career...
Yeah, Michael Stoyanov.
Really?
Yeah. Good for him.
Good for him, dude.
Yeah, Billions, that's a big show.
Billions is huge.
Yeah, so that's the Paul Giamatti show.
Paul G?
Yeah.
My baby boy.
Cool. Baby boy. So yeah, he's a paramedic and he's also in AA, which yeah. I think, like, that's his defining characteristic is that he's a recovering alcoholic.
Yeah.
Like, that's all I ever knew about him. And so him and Blossom are talking about the predicament Blossom's found herself in with this whole gun and him hiding yeah. it. And like,
and he's saying it very well. He's like, back in the day, my school used to be different.
Well, he's like...
It's like the Wild West, except whiskey's been replaced by crack.
Yeah.
Yeah, six-shooters have been replaced by Uzis. Horses have been replaced by lowriders.
Absolutely.
Smoke signals...
I get it, Tony. We get it, but no one's helping each other. There's still a gun in school.
Right, yeah.
It's very confusing, people's reaction. It's like a very... serious story that's happening, but they're trying to find comedy in it, but they're doing it in a way that's just not working.
No. And then from there...
No, does it well? Degrassi.
Yeah, they go there. And then the episode then pivots over to that band performance. This right here is... So after we've seen a clown potentially contemplate suicide...
Because the clown... No, clown's not in this previous scene.
No, so far we've seen the clown contemplate suicide... Blossom deal with this gun thing. And then the next scene is the band performing.
Yeah, and it's just the band performing.
And it's just the band performing.
But when Blossom and her brother do talk about, like, the high school and how scary it is, that's when the clown comes in. Because Joey brings in the clown. And then Joey asks the brother to get him help.
Yes.
So really it all comes together.
Yeah, and so the brother's going to take the clown to the AA meeting he's going to.
But still, while this is going on, Blossom still has in her head a man told her... What did he say again?
Like, you'll get yours.
You'll get yours, kid. Not a big deal. Blossom's like, he's not going to shoot me. It's fine. Girl.
Yeah.
When someone says that to you, yeah. What do you think that means?
Yep. And so, the final scene.
Sure.
Of this episode.
Yeah. But let's go through. This episode, the whole point of it was to be the special episode.
About guns?
About guns. To really, like... I bet there were promos for this episode, like, yeah. Blossom goes there.
Yeah.
This is the episode that will change television.
Yeah, the one episode you have to see.
Yeah.
And so this final scene opens with, they're at high school and...
I think we can recreate it. You be the boyfriend, I'll be Blossom.
Oh, like, what did he say? Like, he comes up and he's like, did she say something first?
Well, I think, okay, I'll be the boyfriend. Blossom, did you hear the news?
No, what?
Did you hear about what happened to that guy?
Jimmy?
Yeah.
What happened?
Yeah.
Is he...
Yeah.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
In my opinion, nation,
the sun is gonna shine. That was it. That was the scene.
I guess you didn't hear yet.
Hear what? What?
It's Jimmy Kelly. He had an accident with the gun last night.
Oh, God. Is he?
That's it. And then Blossom says, like, is he? And then he nods his head.
Yeah, it's too serious. So, Jimmy, to clarify, killed himself, perhaps, or something, some sort of an accident, with his tiny, 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 tiny gun.
Off-screen.
Huge blow.
And then that's the end of the episode, and then we get to the fun credits. So, like, So Jimmy's story arc is he brings a gun to school to scare someone. They call the they search his locker, and then he's dead.
Well, he took the gun home.
He
took it away, and then he killed himself. He didn't kill himself.
Do we learn? What does this episode teach viewers? Is the message?
I think it teaches that school is hard. That it's kill or be killed.
I guess, yeah.
That's exactly what happened.
It's a jungle out there.
No, because he didn't do it, so he got... He perished.
Because I guess, like, this episode is just supposed to show the viewers, like, guns are serious.
Yes, and they're bad.
Does it tell you... Does Blossom's actions come across as being the right thing to do?
I think so. I think if you're in that situation, you don't. Yeah, and nothing came from it. Yeah, there was no repercussions except that. And also, no one knew about it. And she was the only one who thought it was really serious.
Yeah, everyone else. I mean, her dad thought it was serious once she found out.
Yeah, but then he went and, like, played. He had a gig.
But then he got distracted by lasagna and his gig.
And he went, yeah.
So he didn't do
it. If my mom heard that I knew there was a gun in school, she would be, like, crying and by my side. Yeah. Not like, sorry, girl, I gotta go do a gig tonight.
Yeah, sorry, my best friend who probably should have been dying. That would have been a better story, but
yeah.
It wasn't.
But, oh yeah, what do you think the lesson is?
Because
have you learned?
I think the way they should have done this is, like, she calls the thing, and basically, her calling the anonymous hotline needed to get the gun out of his hands at some point so that he didn't end up killing himself.
Yes.
Or he ended up hurting himself with, like, a knife or something later. Like, we need to learn the lesson that calling the anonymous hotline
actually worked.
Getting the gun out of his hand... Yes. Will save a life.
Yes, this definitely showed do not call on a hotline because it's only get you threatened.
But to die.
And then that person may,
And then nothing will happen.
Yeah, they should have found the tiny gun in his locker.
But no, it doesn't. It does, nothing happen.
That's probably why, like, this episode happened in the year it did, but maybe if it happened later, it should have been different. Like, Degrassi, they went there.
Yeah.
And they made it real.
Yeah, I mean, I guess, like, this is also the cheap, like, well, we're dark and edgy because he's going to die at the end of
with the tiny...
Like, it's a serious thing. He's going to die.
But off stage, and we see nothing. Not that we should.
No, we definitely shouldn't actually see it happen, but we should, like... The fact that also there's no... We don't know that next episode, I'm sure this is never referenced again.
No.
Drunk Clown is never seen again, I'm sure. And so, like, what is the point? What do we learn?
Nothing. They just needed to, like, hey, guys... This season, we really want to, like, make it bigger and dig deeper.
Yeah, I also think not even knowing what Jimmy's motivation
is. We also want Jimmy to meet a clown.
Yeah. That also, the fact that they're like, we also need to do the alcoholic clown episode. Because we know people are going to be watching because of the gun stuff. We need to Trojan horse this alcoholic clown. Because a lot of clowns are very sad in 1993.
Yeah.
It's a problem.
Blossom... It was a fun thing to watch, and I am appreciative of its impact on hats in the early 90s.
Hats and opening
and
credits.
Fashion and opening. And Joey
Lawrence.
His family got a career after this.
Yeah, all those Lawrence brothers got all sorts of stuff.
Yeah, he's still around. He still has a career.
He's still doing things.
Blossom, that woman, still
has
a career.
She's huge. She's on Big Bang Theory.
Yeah, she's got a lot of money.
I mean, she's now one of the few actors that have now had two successful shows. Like, that's hard
she's
thing
a
to pull
weird
off.
Stance about feminism that's interesting but you know whatever we try
she's a bundle of contradictions,
a lot of things going
on one hand
Blossom. But she's also incredibly smart and educated
smart,
and not many people
like,
are
all about like women in STEM like I
yeah,
like
that's
that
great, that's great
but then on the other hand maybe don't
in
like,
your opinionation
in your opinionation don't shame women so
yeah,
much
yeah but hey, guns are bad.
Guns are so.
Alcoholics are bad, but funny.
Oh boy.
I guess. And also, man, that's sick jam. If you're gonna jam, you gotta jam with your bros. And who cares about the money? That's honestly the lesson that I got.
Yeah. Do it for the art.
Do it for the art.
Do it for the art and the love. Let's move on to the trivia section. Have a good time. And in my opinionation, the sun is gonna surely.
Great.
So, this week's episode, how many people would you say watched this episode?
Seven.
Of this episode of Blossom?
Seven people.
Which is more than the people that watched
I don't think it was a well-rated show.
It wasn't.
Yeah.
Well, no, but...
So, but then back then there was also limited. There's not 1,000 things now. There are networks, and there everyone watched everything. I know 20 million isn't a big number. I'm gonna go with 17.
19.3 million people.
Okay.
19.3 million people watched this episode, and for the week it was number 35.
That makes sense.
Number 35. That makes sense. Almost 20 million people. It was tied with CBS's screening of the movie Misery.
And this was season 4, too. Yeah. So it was like...
People, it's blossoms on its way out. The top 5 shows of that week were Coach at 5, number 4 was Seinfeld, 3 was 60 Minutes, 2 Roseanne, 1 Home Improvement.
Oh.
That's a good lineup. Top 5. Blossom. Blossom is also such a weird show for NBC, because NBC, in my opinionation...
Yes.
Is the young singles network. I mean, it's Seinfeld, Friends. I mean, Mad About You, they aren't single, but they're still, like, it's very urban. It's like, New York, you know?
Well, this had Italian New York people. Like, they were New York-y to me. Like, I can say
in
they, like,
Los
felt,
Angeles.
Yeah.
It's weird to have...
I don't know their backstory. Maybe they, like, because the whole point of the show is, like, they were a family whose mother left, and they have to somehow deal with it.
Yeah.
Maybe they moved. I don't know.
It's weird having an NBC show that starts teenagers, because they don't, they're not in that game.
But it was like an edgy, like, single person show, because you got the alcoholic brother, who's a paramedic, and he was a cutie or whatever, and then Joey, he's a young cutie or whatever. The so dad the was a single
cutie,
I guess.
Handsome-y.
Ugh. And then Blossom is a young cutie, with her, like, very average, just, like, television-looking boyfriend.
Yeah. What a weird show. So on IMDb, 17 users voted this episode a 7.8 out of 10. Higher or lower? What's your opinionation on this?
I would say very low, but I'm not a Blossom fan, so.
I think in terms of all television, I would give this a 5.2.
I give it a 3.54.
I mean, I guess in terms of ironic watching, it was a blast to watch because
it's fun to watch.
It went places I was not expecting.
Also,
baffling. A baffling hour, half hour television.
Yes.
So NBC's Monday night lineup at this time was Fresh Prince at 8 and then Blossom at 8:30, which I remember they were always paired.
Yeah.
Very weird pairing. And then a movie. The Monday night movie was always on at 9.
Oh, I don't remember that.
Yeah. Who would you say had the must-see performance in this episode?
Gosh, probably the clown.
Yeah, I think I was gonna go the clown.
The clown, he really, he brought his A-game and his guest starring role. Mm. He was an alcoholic, but he was endearing. Even though he was a concoction, he was in the mind of Joey, who was in a coma, I believe, still.
And everyone else is just humoring Joey around him.
Everyone's in a hospital room. Last episode should be everyone's in a hospital room, and Joey wakes up from a coma, and the whole thing was just like a thing he just pretended. I don't know, Yeah, I'm going to go with the clown.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the clown, too. Because no one else... I mean, I don't know what was happening.
Or we can say the high school's principal.
Who raided the locker for a hot second.
Yeah, because he's like, man, nothing's in here. All right, goodbye.
Don't have to do any more due diligence. Nope, or nothing like done. Don't need to pat him down.
Mm-mm.
Don't need to check maybe a backpack, maybe.
Nope. No asking other people questions. Not taking an anonymous threat seriously. That's why you shouldn't have been anonymous. But, you know, it's hard. It's a hard game out there.
Must other people see this episode?
No. I mean, I think see it if you want to see how... If you're, like, a lover of television and you want to see how they tackle doing, like, a special
episode. Or if you're doing, like, you want to watch all Blossom special episodes, because there are a bunch.
Sure.
There are a whole
And also
bunch.
The fashion in this wasn't even that... Like, there were no hats.
No, I mean, Joey's always going to be wearing, like, a nice, like, ribbed tee and a flannel tied around his waist and, like, some... Or a t-shirt with, like, the sleeves rolled up.
Yeah. To show off his, like, 19-year-old muscles.
Yeah, so there's, like, you know, Joey's always rocking a good look.
But Blossom just looked like she goes to, like, the older woman section of Macy's and just, like, got a... Very boring dress.
In my opinion, could have been... There were no hats. I don't remember really
zero
any
hats. This, you know, I'll give this episode 0 hats out of 5.
Yeah, because, I mean, 6 and Blossom are your hat icons.
No, yeah. 0 hats.
But
I guess you don't use your hats on special episodes.
No, you got... Because they're too distracting.
Yeah, too distracting.
This is a serious episode.
Serious.
This is a serious
hats
episode
off.
With a clown. With a fucking alcoholic clown.
And isn't the clown the greatest hat of all?
Well, that was Blossom. I'm going to try a new segment on the show.
New segment.
Called, what was I going to... From the great TV sitcom book. On eBay, I bought this book. It's basically a textbook. Like, yes. I wasn't expecting it to be this big. It is a textbook.
It's a thick green book.
It's a thick green book. from 1983, and it is a book that catalogs every sitcom that exists from 1939 to 1983. And I was going to just, like, flip through it and then read a quick synopsis of a forgotten sitcom, and then we'll talk about For Hot Sex. So, I guess tell me when to stop flipping.
Not even looking, and stop.
Okay, I'm going to go a little more. Okay, there we go. So let's read about, so let me read all the titles of the options, and then we'll choose one to read about. The sitcoms, Paper Moon, mm-hmm. Paul Sand and Friends and Lovers, Sunshine, The Texas Wheelers, That's My Mama, or We'll Get By.
That's My Mama, 100%.
You want to read about That's My Mama? Yeah. I will note that The Texas Wheelers was Mark Hamill's sitcom before Star Wars.
What?
Yep. It only lasted one season.
Wait, no, okay, whatever. I picked
That's
the mama
My Mama. Okay. So, That's My Mama. What could be more heartwarming than the story of a boy and his mother? Well, maybe the story of a boy and his dog. Anyway, in this one,
what?
the author has a point of view. He's a little bit funny. He's
okay.
A little bit snarky.
Oh, he's got a personality.
Yeah,
cute,
he's a little personality. Well, maybe the story of a boy and his dog. Anyway, in this one, the mama was Eloise Curtis, Teresa Merritt, and the boy was Clifton Curtis, Clifton Davis, a hip young black barber in a middle-class Washington, D.C. neighborhood. He'd inherited the family barbershop, Oscar's, when his dad died. He also seemed to inherit his mother, who wanted to see him married to a nice black girl, and that's all capitalized for some reason.
What part? The nice black
N-B-N-G.
Girl? Oh, okay.
Instead of all the running around he was doing, his sister Tracy, played by Lynn Moody, later by Joan Pringle, two actors, had a conservative husband Leonard, played by Lyle Wilson, and Cliff had a mailman buddy Earl, played by Ed Bernard on the first two telecasts, later by Theodore Wilson, who was playing another role on the show back then. Other buddies stopped over for jokes and talk and checkers and advice in the fall of 1975 for its second season. There were a few cast changes, and then they sent Mama to the home in December.
Oh no, they Aww. Sent Mama away!
Yeah, and there's a picture in here from the show of Mama with her adult son bent over her knee, and she's spanking him with a belt.
Okay. Okay.
That's My Mama. Teresa Merritt beats the hell out of Clifton Davis.
That looks like a good show.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, like, a boy who inherits, like, a barbershop and also his mother, like, to take care, like,
yeah.
Really, it's literally stepping into the family, the patriarch role.
Yep. And this, when was this again? What, do you know what
this
year?
This is 74, 75. Wow. So it's probably around, like, 74 to 76.
Yeah. I mean, also, just, like, in general, TV is, like, very white. And it's, like, awesome that, it's, like, so crazy because, like, in the early 90s, there were so many people of color, there's, like, Fresh Off the Boat now and Blackish now, but they were, like, all these awesome shows that I used to watch because I identified them with them way more than white show families.
White,
and so, yeah, it's like, yeah, this has happened before. Why is it unusual now? And why isn't it happening more?
I think it's starting to finally come around.
I hope
it's always, like, the most, like, the last
But it takes,
year.
It's more on streaming than it is on network.
It's mostly
on
streaming. Network. So, you know. So yeah, That's My Mama. Only lasted a couple of years. We'll probably never talk about that on the show because you can't find it anywhere.
Who knows?
But yeah, that was a.
Where can we find Blossom?
You can get Blossom on Hulu.
Oh, okay.
Blossom is now on Hulu. The first time it has ever streamed anywhere. I actually don't even know if you can buy it on iTunes. I think that you might only be able to stream it.
That's good. It's good that the actress playing Blossom can get even more money. She needs it, really.
Yeah.
I mean, what is she doing now?
Well, nothing. She's fine.
She's very
she
fine.
She is not making as much money as the men on that show. That is a public statement.
I was on the lot where they film Big Bang Theory, and I walk by it, and the actors have, like, special parking in front of the lot, like, of the, in front of the, what's the name? Like, Lot 35. Like, like, the places that they actually shoot it. Wow, I should
Studio
know.
Studio lot.
Studio, God. You know, I've been a lot of lots. I sound like I don't. But, so they had parking in front of the studios just for the actors. And for the Big Bang Theory, there was, like, a goddamn, like, Bugatti or some sort of, like, really incredibly expensive car parked not in one space, but over three. And so I'm like, ugh. And it was one of the actors.
You think it was like Johnny Galecki's car?
Uh-huh,
oh my God.
We get it. You're making bank.
So much bank.
Yeah.
Oh, well. But yeah, thank you so much for coming out.
Of course.
Just, like, learning so much about not calling anonymous tip lines.
Never do it.
Help any clown that comes across
you. Just let him into your house.
Let him into your house. Take him in. And pay for play is bad news.
Also, if you're directing an episode, just do whatever you want. Make it about you.
It's about you. Where can people find you on the internet or any products you want
yes.
to plug?
Well, you can find my podcast, Mission to Zix, which is a good one. IndieWire named it one of the top 50 podcasts of the year. You can find it on just missiontozix.space or on iTunes, wherever you get your voices in the
your
phone.
Voices in your ears.
And I'm on socials on at Mujanzi. So yeah. M-O-U-J-A-N-Z.
Yeah, thank you so much for coming out, and God be with you.
Wow, what a way to end the episode.
I drew a blank.
Yikes. We're talking about guns, we're talking about God. What else do you want to bring up?
Oh, everything's...
Vote, please vote, please vote.
Please vote.
And that does it for this week's episode of Must Have Seen TV. Thanks again to my guest, Mujan Zalfagari, for dropping by and talking about Blossom with me this week. Next week on the show, I will be discussing the Golden Girls episode, Journey to the Center of Attention. Journey to the Center of Attention is in Season 7, Episode 19 of Golden Girls, and you can stream the Golden Girls episode on Hulu or buy it in iTunes or Amazon. Until then, I want to hear from you. Tweet your questions about sitcoms to at MustHaveSeenTV or send them to MustHaveSeenTV@gmail.com. You can follow the podcast on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and Tumblr at MustHaveSeenTV. If you like what you've heard, just, you know, leave a review in iTunes. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Brett White. You can read the words that I write, including a piece about a gay episode of Blossom on Decider.com. You can check out my sitcom t-shirts and stickers at tpublic.com/user/Brett White. The theme song is Patricia's Moving Picture by The Go Team. Thanks to Acast for hosting the podcast. Thanks to everyone for listening. And I'll see you next week on Must Have Seen TV.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.